Prayer is God's means to fellowship with us. It's what God has commanded us to do to obtain His will and His blessing. But prayer is what opens up the spiritual dimension. Without prayer, the matters of truth can be very real, but not seen as they ought to be. And we certainly see that in the life of Daniel, chapter 10, if you'll turn there with me for one more time. I'm going to take just a few minutes tonight because of all that's gone on, but I want to tie up this chapter as we've already had two messages and looking at this unusual prayer of Daniel and what we find out about what goes on in the heavenlies from this prayer. Daniel is around 90 years of age, and yet whatever was his physical strength or weakness, probably weakness at this point, he did not let that stop him from getting a hold of God in regard to the burden that he had for the glory of God to be seen in his people. And so here in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, he goes to prayer. God had done what he had asked back in chapter 9. Cyrus made the decree. The people had gone back to the land. But it certainly wasn't what God fully intended. Only tens of thousands went instead of the hundreds of thousands that had been dispersed in that region. And they were far from building in Jerusalem at that point, even beginning to build the temple. They were facing great opposition and problems. And also in the answer to prayer that God gave in chapter 9 of Daniel, he was very aware of the fact there were some real troubles coming for the people of Israel. And so he did not look at that as fatalistic. I say this often. He believed that his prayer would make a difference for the future of Israel. And folks, as we know, we are nearing the end and the rapture of the church at any time. It's God's will to reach every people group. It's God's will to do a mighty work. And our prayer does make a difference. We cannot just coast along on what we know is going to happen in the future and just say, what matter is it? I tell you, the souls of people are what matter. And the prayers that God's people have put to the Lord in these last weeks came to fruition this week with open hearts everywhere we've turned. I just keep hearing of things that are thrilling about what God has done. And I believe he's going to continue to do that. And so our prayers do make a huge difference. And he was so burdened for 3 weeks. He was on a moderate fast, but for a man of 90 years of age, this was a very serious matter for him. And while he was praying, as we mentioned several weeks ago, God himself met with him. You see that starting in verse 5. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, his body also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms in brass, his feet, like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. See, the other people weren't praying, but Daniel was praying. Daniel had the heart of God. Daniel was jealous for the glory of God to be seen, and God met with him. And I mentioned this, but I want to reemphasize it. One of the greatest joys in genuine intercession is when the Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart and you really begin to understand God. And I'm telling you, there are times when the Lord really does reveal his presence in a spiritual way. And Daniel had the privilege there of coming into the presence of the Lord Jesus, I believe, for this is very similar to the glorified Savior in Revelation chapter 1. And there was such a sense of the presence of God that a great quaking fell upon all of them. They hid themselves, and they realized that God was there. By the way, folks, if God began to be present here more, this community would know it. If the people of God were in the presence of God, they might not understand what's happening, but they would begin to get a spiritual awakening. That has happened in the mighty moves of God throughout history. It's happened in our country many times where people didn't know There was no connection as to what was going on in a given church, but God was so meeting with the people of God there that the community was arrested by the power of the living God. It affected Daniel very greatly. In verse 8, "Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned to me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, and I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground." One of the reasons, folks, that we struggle with intense intercession and giving us ourselves to prayer is that in meeting with the Lord, we are revealed for who we are. Now, that can be excruciating, and it is, and you realize we have nothing to offer God, our comeliness is turned into corruption, but the great blessing of that is you come out of that time realizing the forgiveness and the reality of what it means to fully give yourself to the Lord, and you have gone forward, because any pretense, any covering for who we are, when God shows up, it just goes away, and you see yourself where you who you are, and then you get a hold of the greatness of your salvation and the greatness of the Lord and his mercy, and you realize that God can work mightily now that you've gotten self-dealt with. So even Daniel, this godly man, had to see himself like Isaiah did with the need in his life, and God used that in a great way in his life. Don't be afraid of conviction. It's your best friend. Don't be afraid of having times when you have to cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And it goes, because you'll go on and say, like Paul did, "I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord." There is the answer. And then verse 10, "And behold, an hand touched me." Now we're not talking about God's hand. We're talking about the angelic hand, "which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling." Here you have an angel. We don't have him named, as I mentioned last week. Gabriel is mentioned in chapter 9. I believe it's Gabriel, because there was no introduction needed. Daniel recognized this angel. And each of these angels are real personalities. And so this angel, Gabriel, strengthened him, and he stood up. And then again, we read in verse 11, "He said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." That just stirs me every time I read that. Daniel, a man greatly beloved. He was loved because he loved. He was loved of God because he was jealous for the glory of God. He had spent great periods of time in prayer, had developed a very real relationship. Folks, Daniel wasn't in heaven yet. Paul had that kind of relationship here on this earth. The Apostle John had that relationship here on this earth. Abraham was called a friend of God. David was called a man after God's own heart. That's the kind of life we can have. It's nothing what we do. Wouldn't you love to hear an angel come and tell you, you know, you're a man or woman that's greatly beloved to the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. One day we will stand before him. "Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Folks, the minute you pray, God hears. When you come and you have an open heart, and as best you know how, you're allowing the Spirit of God to work, and even if you're struggling and you're not where you ought to be, God still hears that prayer because he loves you. And I'm telling you, things begin to happen at the throne. So often we have to wait on the Lord. Here, 3 weeks, Daniel had to wait. You have to be patient, but you can be guaranteed in the battle for people's souls, in the battle for for believers to come to where they ought to be spiritually, for other things, for provision, for the work of God to go forward, even though it seems like it's not been heard, God's word says he does hear. And he's a God that hears and answers prayer. And I've mentioned this several times, but folks, when you finish a time of prayer and you know God stirred your heart, the last thing you need to do is to tell the Lord, you know he's heard you and you know that he's working. And though you may not see it, you have absolute faith that the word of God is true and that God is in operation on behalf of that need. I believe that really pleases the Lord. And it'll stir your heart too. Because God has to humble us. God's got to teach us. God, if he just gave us things quickly, we would not appreciate what he is doing. We wouldn't see him for who he is. We would take credit for what happens. Sometimes, you know, I wish it would be more quickly. But think of we're all involved in that land story. That took a while, but aren't you glad what God did all the way through? I mean, just the way he did it made it very clear that he had worked. And so let me just go through as we're just putting this finally together here, that he said, the moment you prayed, God heard, and I was sent. But something you couldn't see happened, as we mentioned last week. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. There is a hierarchy in the creation of the angelic world. I don't fully understand it. There's categories of angels. Those are listed out several times. Principalities, powers, might, dominion. And you clearly have angels such as Lucifer himself. He was the top creation of God. He was the one to bring all of the angelic world to praise to God. In fact, when you saw Lucifer, you almost thought you were seeing God. He was so glorious. And he has great power. Well, evidently, this prince of Persia, which empire was in power at this very time? Persia, the Medo-Persian Empire. So the most powerful demon under Lucifer was calling the shots with Cyrus and these others. By the way, isn't that exciting that Cyrus obeys God in giving the order to send Israel back to the land? That prince of Persia couldn't stop God. He may be powerful and he influences all the things that are going on, all that wickedness, but God put it in his heart and he states it as such. You see there at the end of Chronicles that God had put that in his heart and God had overruled. At any point, folks, I don't care how powerful spiritual powers are, when God moves, he can overrule anything. And now that Christ is seated in the heavenlies in the spiritual realm, he has the power over these powers. And if we will pray, no matter how much of an entrenched hold they have, that can be overcome because Jesus is all powerful. It's very, very encouraging. And so he withstood him 120 days. But lo, Michael, the archangel, the angel that protects the nation of God, Israel, was called upon. He came, and we see here, he rescues Gabriel. So he had more power than the prince of Persia, the demonic power. One of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So let me again review the hierarchy. There's man, created lower than the angels. Then we have Gabriel. Then we have the prince of Persia. Then we have Michael. Then we have Lucifer, and praise the Lord. And then way up there we have God as far as power is concerned. And so even though we're on the bottom, we have the one in us who is greater than he that is in this world. And as I say so often, folks, how foolish it is to spend one moment unarmed, one day without truly being powered by the Spirit. You know, it ought not surprise you that carnal Christians just do all the things that they do. As you look back at your life when you weren't really walking with God, you didn't really think right, did you? There were all kinds of influences. It's amazing how you can just be under the grip of power, because remember, the demonic powers are far more powerful than us, but we have God in us. We have no excuse whatsoever. And so he said, I've come now to give you the answer, and I'm going to tell you what is going to occur. Now, it's a fantastic prophecy that we find in chapter 11. We're not going to go into every little detail when we go over this, but I'm going to try to give you enough here in the future to just show you how precise the prophecy is. Remember, this was written well before this prophecy actually was fulfilled, and Daniel has very conclusively been proven to be written at the time of Daniel. Verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. I mean, all of this was just overwhelming to Daniel. You can imagine in his humanity, here you have Gabriel, who himself, I'm sure, was a powerful angel. And as he's hearing about all of this and the spiritual battle that's going on, it was too much for him to process. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. It's probably Gabriel then again, or it could have been another angel. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Now, this is very interesting. We know that it is God's grace that empowers us. It's by his intervention in our lives we're saved, we're able to do anything. But clearly we see angels who act for God do have power that affects us. In Hebrews, they are ministering spirits for the saints. Now, we don't need to be worrying. We don't need to look around for angels and all that, because that gets into the wrong realm. Our eyes should be completely on the Lord. But do you remember when Elisha told the Lord, would you open up my servant's eyes? And he opened up his eyes, and the fiery chariots of the angelic world were surrounding them there at Dothan. What a moment that was. Elisha saw it. And I tell you, friends, when you're walking with God and you're in the midst of battle, and as you're spending time with him, you don't know the details, but you begin to get a real sense. Not only is God on my side and that's all I need, but he does have ministering spirits. And I'm telling you, when you are in the will of God, in the center of God's will, you can be absolutely comforted by the fact God will take care of you. And no matter how powerful the fallen forces are in this world, they're no match for God. When the people of God look to him and trust him, God will take care of us. He allows things to happen like he did with Job for our good, but it always turns out to our good. And God is in control. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to have a good time meeting some of the angels. Some of you have really put them to work. I'm telling you, I'm talking about myself, you know. The way some of you drive. I think about that. I got a feeling an angel's going to come up to you and say, brother, if you could have just been a little more careful, the amount of time I had to do just to keep you alive because God wasn't done with you yet. But I bet you there are some of those conversations, and there's a lot that goes on. I have seen over a number of times in my life, I've seen things happen, and haven't you? And you just said, that shouldn't happen. I should have gotten hit. Everything got rearranged. You know, and it's, you know it's not illusion of your mind. Well, God is in control, and it's a blessing. So we get a little idea on that here in this passage. And again, just that Daniel realized the future of Israel was out of his control, and he realized his weakness. And it just, you know, folks, the minute we think we're strong, we're in trouble. We have nothing to offer God. Everything we are is by God's grace. And it's good for us to see ourselves for who we are. In verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And this here would have to be Gabriel, because he's going to give now the prophecy. and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. Notice that Daniel had to exercise his will for the power of God. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou, the angel, had strengthened me. Again, interesting little piece of information there. Now, who had to make the decision to allow himself to be strengthened? Daniel did. Now, folks, don't wait for God to pick you up and make you do things. God will give you a heart. He'll give you a desire. But you have to believe him. You've got to take the step of faith. And then God will empower you to do it. So there's the drawing, and then there's the empowering. But the key is the will, the faith step that is there. And then he gives us that last little piece I mentioned about last week in verse 20. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And by the way, the Medo-Persians did fall eventually. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. At this stage, no one would have thought that Greece would have been the next world power. No one. That is the prophecies of chapters 7 and 8 are just unbelievable about Greece. And shows you the divine inspiration of Daniel. And so Greece would come. So there's just this continual battle in the heavenlies. And that's why we need to be praying. And Daniel's prayer made a difference. We don't understand it all, but God intended for us to realize that we're not just going through form. When you go through your hour with God, there's some real aspects of real difference made in the heavenlies. That's why that spiritual warfare section is so strategic. I can tell you, it was yesterday, I think it was, when I got into that section and we had just finished Bible school, there was just a stirring in my soul. This is a battle and we've got to see this through. And God gave real encouragement in my heart that I can claim the victory. And then the angel says, But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none of these things that hold, there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So what we have in chapter 11 is a detailed prophecy of the intertestamental times, basically, and which is a great help as we look at history. And I'm going to give you just little bits and pieces because it gets quite complicated, but just to encourage your heart about that. And then you notice it ends with Michael, your prince. It doesn't make any sense that Daniel became the second in power to Nebuchadnezzar and then actually ruled the Babylonian Empire for maybe 7 years. It doesn't make any sense that Daniel became the top lieutenant of Babylon under the Medo-Persian Empire. For Nehemiah to have the power that he had to be able to see the walls built in Jerusalem and to be the cupbearer of the king. It doesn't make any sense that Mordecai rose to power under that great persecution of Haman there in the book of Esther. Michael, your prince. Michael the archangel has a special work with the nation of Israel. My friends, it doesn't make sense there's a country called Israel today. It doesn't make sense that that little bitty country, the big countries just are not willing yet to attack. Michael, your prince. All of these things are just, we only know little bits and pieces and we can't conjecture too far and go beyond scripture. But I'm telling you, the word of God is true. And God has protected that rebellious nation called Israel. And God has supernaturally, through his own forces, kept that nation and is continuing to do so today. And folks, that means that we need to trust our Lord. We have better than Michael the archangel, we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the head of the church. We have a greater opportunity than even the nation of Israel has. So that's very key, of course, in the whole plan of God. Right now, we have the privilege of taking the gospel to the ends of the world. So just a recap of that chapter, I trust will cause you to realize praying is everything. If you don't pray, then the spiritual realm goes on. But when you pray, that's when the victories are won. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow for prayer here tonight, just taught this here tonight, but I trust that God has challenged you about the matter of prayer and believing that it does make a difference. And as a believer here tonight, you'd say, Pastor, I realize that I let myself sag in prayer. I let myself not realize the importance of it. I forget what's going on. I let myself and those around me be susceptible to the evil one. And I just need to just make a renewed commitment to God for his enabling power, for me to get a hold of him, to be one who's beloved by God because I love him and I take the time to want his cause to go forward. And I really want to be in the middle of that, to learn how to pray that way. And I'm burdened about that tonight. Would you just lift up your hand? I'll be glad to pray with you about that. That's certainly my heart tonight also. God bless you. Amen. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're here and you don't know you're ready to meet God. Folks, these things are real. You need to have your life taken care of by the grace of God, and that only comes by placing your faith in him. And you'd say, Pastor, if I were to die, I don't know what would happen to me. Would you pray for me also? Anyone like that? We're always burdened to see people come to know Christ. Now, Lord, would you work in hearts, bless in these final moments. Lord, this is real. As I stand here today, Lord Jesus, you are in the midst of this church. These powers are in operation, but we have the greater one in us. And Lord, we need to exercise the great authority that we have in you, not because of ourselves. And Lord, may we not be self-dependent. Pray for these that raise the hand. Would you give them greater victory in prayer than they've ever had? Lord, if we will, then we'll see the move of God we've been praying for. Lord, it's not going to just happen. We need to call upon you, and it takes time. There are greater battles than can be seen. And Lord, give us that kind of heart. So would you bless now these that are burdened about that, bless in this time in Jesus' name. Amen.